The Independent Audit Committee was established by charter and receives audit reports and other information from the Denver Audit Office. The committee strives to bring greater clarity, transparency, and accountability to Denver's city government and its residents. It is also responsible for commissioning an annual audit of the city's annual comprehensive financial report. This committee is chaired by Auditor Timothy M. O'Brien.
Good morning. I'd like to call the June 26th meeting of the Independent Audit Committee to order and ask Amy to see who's attending here today.
All right. Jack Blumenthal.
Here.
Lorene Nath.
Here.
Leslie Mitchell.
Here.
Lynn Scholes.
Here.
Frank Rowe.
Here.
Lee Hatch.
Here.
Tim O'Brien.
Here. Okay, next item is approval of the May 22nd meeting minutes. The minutes are in order. Is there a motion to approve?
I so move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The minutes are approved. Next item is a report briefing on the hiring process audit that we've conducted. Sonia, do you want to introduce the team? And if you have any opening comments, this will be a good time. From the Civil Service Commission, Gracie and Greg?
Yeah.
I'll ask you to make any opening comments, and then we'll dive into the audit report itself. So, thank you.
Great. Well, I'm actually going to do an introduction just to explain why this audit matters. So I'm Sonia Montano. I was a senior audit manager on the project. For several years during our risk assessment meetings with city officials, concerns related to the Civil Service Commission's hiring process was brought to our attention. Individuals in police and fire positions are critical to the city's operations and the safety of residents in the community. So the hiring process for these positions is essential. Although over time there had been some changes in administration at the Civil Service Commission, no substantial adjustments had been made to the process for many years. And as a result, the process was not always effective for those involved. Therefore, we decided to conduct an audit of the process. As you will hear today from the audit team, they identified a variety of inefficiencies in the hiring process. So we anticipate our audit recommendations will assist the Civil Service Commission to strengthen the hiring process and improve the experience for them, other city officials and agencies, and for future applicants. So now I will turn it over to Kristen to introduce the team.
Good morning, auditor and committee members. My name is Krista McCormick, and I was the manager for the hiring process audit we will be presenting this morning. I am joined at the table by the rest of the audit team, Daniel Amerkanian, Daniel Edwards, Jordan Monk, and Lisa Mann. I'll now ask the representatives from the Civil Service Commission to take a moment to introduce themselves.
Thank you so much. To the audit committee members, Auditor Tim O'Brien, and members of the audit team, good morning. I am Gracie Fettes, the Executive Director of the Civil Service Commission. Joining me today are, actually, I only have one commissioner right now. Maybe that one? Yes. We have the president, the current president of the Board of Commission, Ms. Amber Miller, and I also have beside me today the vice president of the board, Mr. Greg Moore. So I'd also like to acknowledge our dedicated team members who are attending virtually. I believe that audits help ensure accountability and promote efficiency and effectiveness and maintain public trust. Despite the inherent rigor and scrutiny of an audit process, I just wanted to say that the audit team consistently demonstrated professionalism, a clear and collaborative communication, and a courteous and patient approach. So thank you guys. This audit covered the period of January 1st, 2022 through June 30, 2024. I joined the agency in late August of 2024. One of my initial priorities upon joining the team was to conduct an in-depth review of our operations and our processes, and this led to a full review of each step of the hiring process, as well as the vendors and the contractors we work with. The Board of Commissioners and my goals have always been to streamline the hiring process by eliminating unnecessary redundancies, provide value-add assessments, to select the most qualified candidates, and increase collaboration, communication, and transparency with our partners, the stakeholders and the community. Additionally, we have worked diligently to align our operations with charter and rules while establishing and documenting policies, procedures, structure, and operations. So meeting with the auditors throughout this process, while they were conducting their review and concurrently conducting our own process improvements, really helped confirm many of the challenges and opportunities that we were identifying within our processes, and then subsequently solutioning the problems internally. That is why in the briefing you're about to receive, you will see that the Civil Service Commission agreed with all the recommendations. Further, of the 14 recommendations, as of today, 4 have already been completed. And then we are looking to complete 6 by the end of October of this year, and are looking to complete the rest or cure the rest by the end of the year in December. So I just want to make note that all of the policy-related findings pertaining to outside employment, security and privacy, conflict of interest, and time and record keeping have all been addressed. We are now at the post-implementation review phase. So we are confident that well before the scheduled audit follow-up next year, we will have cured the findings, and more importantly, that our operations and processes will be reflective of a public agency that is committed to efficiency, transparency, integrity, equity, and collaboration. Thank you guys for your time.
Well, thank you. That was a very nice introduction. Good way to start the briefing.
I'd also like to just take a moment to thank the dedicated staff, the Civil Service Commission, for their help and cooperation during this audit. And a special thanks to you, Gracie, who, as you noted, started your role as executive director when the audit had already begun. I'd also like to thank or extend our thanks to the Commission's board members, staff and leadership within the Departments of Public Safety, the Office of Human Resources, and the Police and Fire Departments, who helped provide valuable information that was absolutely vital to this audit. With that said, I'll take a brief moment to see if there are any questions or comments before I begin.
I think we can proceed.
I'll go ahead and start the presentation by discussing the background of our audit report as found on the beginning of page 1. The Civil Service Commission played an important role in hiring, promotion, and disciplinary review processes of the police and fire departments. Specifically, the Civil Service Commission is responsible for the following: examining, certifying, and screening certain processes for hiring and promoting the classified service within the police and fire departments, implementing and administering rules related to the Commission's duties and responsibilities, overseeing disciplinary appeals hearings, and conducting internal investigations. While the Civil Service Commission has several areas of responsibility, this audit focuses only on the Commission's involvement in the entry-level hiring process. As found on page 3, process standards for these entry-level positions, Commission staff use the city's system of record, Workday. Within Workday, staff manually move candidates to different stages of the hiring process, access and review information submitted by candidates and vendors, communicate important information to candidates, and remove candidates from the hiring process when they are disqualified.
Kristen, could you speak up just a little bit, please?
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I had strep throat a couple weeks ago, so my voice is a little off as well. I'll do my best. As noted towards the bottom of page 1 and continuing through the top of page 3, the hiring process has several stages of testing, which begin with an interested party applying through Workday. If the applicant meets all minimum requirements, a candidate will go on to complete several tests. Some notable areas of testing include a standard test meant to measure a candidate's ability, a polygraph exam, a background investigation, and a deliberative review. As noted on page 2, the Commission works with several third-party vendors for different areas of testing, like the polygraph exam and psychological assessment. If a candidate completes and passes all the required testing, they are then added to a list of eligible certified candidates for review for hire by the Department of Public Safety. As stated on page 4, Commission staff also oversee candidate completion of post-conditional testing requirements, which includes drug screening, fingerprinting, and medical examination the candidate must pass before being provided a final offer. Candidates who do not meet all required qualifications are disqualified and removed from the hiring process. Depending on the circumstances of the disqualification, an individual may be able to reapply to a similar position during a future application period. Continuing on page 4, we note that the Civil Service Commission is overseen by a Board of Commissioners. The Board of Commissioners are involved in the hiring process through the deliberative review. The Board also oversees related administrative functions of the Executive Director, who oversees the full-time and on-call staff who process candidates and conduct background investigations. Although the Civil Service Commission is an independent agency with its own established set of rules, the Commission is governed by city charter and adheres to the city's code of ethics. As reflected on page 5, it is important to note that while the Commission oversees testing, certain portions of the hiring process, like setting hiring goals and recruitment, are completed by the Department of Public Safety and the police and fire departments. As found on page 6, several factors in recent years, including increasing retirements, amount of applicants, and an increase in difficulty in recruiting candidates nationwide for police officers, have only further highlighted the need to continuously bring on more qualified staff at the Denver Fire and Denver Police Departments. While the fire department is typically near a full staffing level, the police department has recently experienced challenges in filling academy classes. As shown on page 38, the objective of this audit was to determine what extent the Civil Service Commission has defined and communicated goals, strategies, and expectations for the entry-level police and fire hiring processes, assessed its systems, processes, data, and available resources to understand inefficiencies, monitored and effectively administered the entry-level police and fire hiring processes, and effectively obtained and used feedback to inform process-related decision-making. For the scope of this audit, we reviewed the hiring process for the civil service employees, which is integral to efficiently and effectively recruiting and hiring new job candidates for Denver's police and fire departments. The time period of our review was January 2022 to June 2024. I'll now go ahead and pause for any questions or comments before Daniel begins his presentation of finding one.
Any questions, comments? I have a question that it may be colored by too many law enforcement shows on TV, but is a polygraph a valid mechanism to screen people?
That's an argument that I would leave to the experts, but with respect to the hiring process, we do not use it as a pass or fail. It is an important integrity solicitation of information component within our process. So I think when I visited all of our polygraph vendors, I sat on the chair but did not dare to be hooked up the machine. But there's something to be said for that in particular process because other alternatives may not have a more scientific backing than polygraph exam currently. So we see it as an information gathering to really help determine integrity. As an example, you know, when candidates submit applications and they declare they may not have used illicit drugs in the past, at the polygraph stage, we find that they are more apt to declare those types of things. So most of our disqualifications at that point is not because they were determined to be deceptive, but because they had declared a hard disqualifier at that step.
Well, thank you.
But scientifically, according to our vendors, it's about 80% accuracy compared to much lower accuracy rates and alternatives like voice stress analysis.
Okay. Truth serum, is that how you?
I don't think EOC will appreciate us.
I'm not suggesting.
Yeah.
Let's continue.
Yeah. Thank you, Kristen, and good morning, everyone. So starting on page 7 of the report, finding 1 states that unreliable and inaccurate data impacts hiring process improvements. The Commission does not have reliable data or documented procedures to ensure it processes police and fire candidates consistently and without error. We attempted to analyze the Commission's data to determine if any testing stages of the hiring process were taking an excessive amount of time or disproportionately impacting candidates. Instead, we found large gaps in the data, which prevents the Commission from identifying problem areas in the hiring process and making targeted improvements. Finally, we found that the Commission lacked documented procedures for managing the hiring process, which may have contributed to staff processing candidates inconsistently and incorrectly. We then reviewed some of the Commission's publicly available presentations and found incorrect information was shared. Additionally, the police and fire departments have expressed frustration with the commission's hiring process. We also surveyed candidates who had participated in the hiring process to learn about their perspectives. In that survey, applicants called the process too long and confusing. According to best practices, a fast and efficient application and hiring process is critical for hiring police and fire candidates. If it's too long or complex, candidates are more likely to drop out, which can risk losing qualified police and fire candidates. On page 8 of the report, we found that many candidates that completed the hiring process were missing timestamp data for at least one important part of the hiring process. Specifically, 91% of police candidates and 83% of fire department candidates were missing at least one important timestamp. Workday timestamp data are critical for identifying issues within the hiring process. These timestamps track details about on when and who enter information into Workday. For example, this data can be used to track how long a testing step takes, or can be used to track how long the entire hiring process takes. Without this data, the commission does not have the information needed to make these targeted improvements. We discuss on page 10 of the report that these time step gaps can be explained in part because commission staff rely on external spreadsheets to manage certain parts of the hiring process, rather than only using Workday. Using these external spreadsheets involves copying data in and out of Workday, resulting in missing Workday timestamps. Our review of candidate disposition reasons also found issues. When commission staff determine that a candidate does not meet qualifications, they are disqualified from the hiring process and should be assigned a disposition reason. Overall, we found inconsistencies in how both police and fire candidates were processed in Workday. Figure 5 on page 11 documents the top three disposition reasons. For police department candidates, the commission used three separate disposition reasons to indicate a candidate did not take the written exam. When these percentages are looked at individually, they do not represent a large portion of the disposition total. However, when combined, they make around 25% of the total. Our review also found that 31% of fire department candidate profiles were missing a disposition reason. Because approximately one-third of these candidates were missing this reason, the commission cannot draw accurate conclusions on where in the process fire department candidates are dropping out in the largest numbers. These inconsistencies are from a lack of organizational-wide policies and procedures, which would standardize how commission staff process both police and fire department candidates in Workday. Without this documentation, commission staff may continue to process candidates inconsistently, resulting in additional gaps or missing records in Workday. As explained on page 12 of the report, because Workday is the main source of data on candidate progress and status throughout the hiring process, any missing information may lead to incorrect information being shared in reports to safety departments or in public-facing reports. We also found evidence of Workday errors caused by manual data entry. As discussed on page 13 of the report, both the Commission and Office of Human Resources staff share responsibility for uploading test scores into Workday. We also found that candidate data is reformatted at least 8 times before being uploaded into Workday, and that no formal documented procedure exists to guide the score upload process. A review of 50 candidates found one incorrect score was uploaded, and we later learned that this had impacted a total of about 10 candidates and was the result of human error. While commission staff caught the error several days later, these candidates had already received automatically generated emails from Workday with incorrect information. Data errors can result from internal control weaknesses. Without these detailed and formalized policies outlining the score upload process and controls, the commission continues to be at risk of future data entries and incorrect information being shared with candidates. Given these risks, we have the following recommendations for finding one. Recommendation 1.1 states to conduct an evaluation of the Workday process. The commission should conduct a Workday process evaluation to document and detail the Workday process flow. This evaluation should include defining and connecting each hiring step to its associate Workday step, identifying necessary Workday labels and removing or discontinuing the excess ones, and determining which steps of the hiring process must occur consecutively and which steps may occur non-consecutively. The commission agreed to this recommendation with a planned implementation date of October 31st, 2025. Next, recommendation 1.2, which can be found on page 14 of the report, states that to improve workday integration with hiring process. While conducting an evaluation of the hiring process, the Civil Service Commission should also work with workday analysts from the Office of Human Resources to improve workday's integration with the hiring process and stop using external spreadsheets. The Commission agreed to this recommendation with a planned implementation date of December 31st, 2025. And finally, recommendation 1.3 states to create a detailed process guide. Once the evaluation and integration improvements are complete, the Commission should create a detailed process guide for processing candidates in Workday and ensure staff are trained on using this information. This guide should have unit-specific information that might detail each position's role and responsibility within the hiring process, how staff should process candidates within Workday, including explanations on Workday data labels and how and when they should be used, and how staff should communicate details on unique candidate cases so that they may adjust the process as needed. The Commission agreed to this recommendation with a planned implementation date of December 31st, 2025. I'll now pause here for any comments or questions from the Audit Committee or Audit Team. Thank you.
Questions from the committee? Any additional comments?
I have a question. So it says here you have 10 employees, full-time employees. How many of those touch the workday process?
As of today, we actually have 11 full-time employees.
Okay.
And everyone touches it in workday at one point or another.
Okay, so different people are responsible for different
yes.
parts of the process?
Correct. We've managed to kind of identify based on the level of complexity in accordance to also the level of their position and what is expected.
Okay. And do you think, I mean, I know you've got this October 31st date, but do you think that workday process is working, generally speaking?
You know, we really have challenged how we can align with workday in our operations, and we have found that it was just a matter of asking what can and cannot be done at this current time. You know, what may have been impossible when workday first rolled out is totally possible now. I have yet to encounter, I think there was only one thing that workday came back and say, unfortunately, because of the security, you know, features for workday, it isn't allowed. So then we figured out a different way, an alternative solution. So we've been able to.
Good.
All right. Any other comments? Danny, do you want to continue?
I'll pass it on to Jordan.
Jordan.
Thank you, Daniel. Finding 2, being on page 16 of the report, says there are no formalized policies and procedures to ensure effective oversight of the hiring process. Within this finding, we have 4 sub-findings that detail lacking policies and procedures for background investigators, candidate processing, vendor management, communication strategies. Sub-finding 1, beginning on page 16 of the report, says policies and procedures to ensure background investigators operate effectively do not exist. As a result, the Commission's ability to ensure the investigation process is timely, accurate, and fair is limited. After reviewing over 1,000 police and fire candidate workday timestamps, background investigation reports, and other investigation data, we found several issues, including workday timestamps associated with the investigation step were inaccurate and misleading, background reports containing significant errors, use of non-secure technology that risks candidates' sensitive data, as well as concerns with adherence to city rules and requirements. To verify whether timestamps in Workday accurately reflected the date the investigator started and stopped working on a background investigation, we reviewed manual documentation in 10 background reports and candidate Workday profiles. As noted in finding 1, we found that Workday timestamps for all 10 background investigations were inaccurate. For example, timestamps indicated one background investigation took 8 months to complete. However, the dates documented on the background report and candidate profile showed the investigator only worked on the report for 16 days, a 7.5-month difference. 4 other investigations had timestamps that indicated the background investigation took less than a day to complete, but these 2 had dates in the background report and candidate profile that showed investigators worked on the report for 14 to 52 days. Commission managers said that investigators have a verbal expectation that reports are completed in 2 to 3 weeks, but no deadlines are formally documented. Continuing on page 18 of the report, we found that background investigators have no quality assurance procedures and identified 2 background reports with significant errors that may have impacted the hiring process. One report mischaracterized key details from a candidate reference interview leading the background investigator to make claims in the report that were opposite of what the candidate reference had told them. In another report, the investigator left the candidate interview summary incomplete, failing to include information about discrepancies in the candidate's history. In the absence of comprehensive policies and procedures, we found that some background investigators developed their own guidance. However, these self-developed guides are not uniformly used and only contribute to the risk that the Commission cannot ensure investigations are accurate and standard for every candidate. Meanwhile, during our audit, we found that 7 of the Commission's 17 background investigators used their personal devices to conduct investigations with sensitive candidate data, such as social security numbers, birth certificates, education history, work history, and military service records. These investigators were using their personal devices because the previous Commission leaders allowed investigators to opt out of receiving city equipment when the Commission transitioned from desktop to laptop computers. However, the city's acceptable use agreement prohibits employees from using personal devices unless granted an exemption from technology services. We found no exemptions for these 7 investigators. We also found that the Commission has no central document repository or retention policies for background investigators to follow. As a result, investigators stored sensitive candidate files in various locations, including their desktop, OneDrive, an external thumb drive, and even in their home private office or home basement. Additionally, we found instances where candidate files were destroyed and not kept according to the city's record retention schedule, which requires background investigation documents to be retained for 3 years. On page 20 of the report, we discussed concerns with background investigators following certain city rules and requirements. We found that background investigators are not reporting their time and attendance in accordance with city policy. Investigators are classified by the city as on-call employees, meaning that they have variable work schedules and can only work up to 39 hours a week. Additionally, 16 of the commission's 17 background investigators work remotely. As such, investigators are responsible for documenting their schedules and hours in workday. However, because there is no time and attendance policy as required by city rule, investigators do not consistently record additional details that would allow managers to verify the accuracy of the hours reported. As a result, commission managers were unable to verify 2 background investigators worked the hours they reported for 3 pay periods between July 2023 and March 2024. Furthermore, on page 20 of the report, we found 5 background investigators were engaged in outside employment without the necessary approval required by city's code of ethics. All city employees, including the background investigators, are required to report their existing and proposed outside employment in writing and receive approval annually. City employees are also required to avoid conflicts of interest that could influence their actions. In addition to their outside employment being a source of potential conflict of interest, the Commission's investigators often have prior law enforcement experience, some having worked for the Denver Police Department for decades. Despite knowing about investigators' outside employment and previous law enforcement history, the Commission does not collect or approve any documentation addressing potential conflicts of interest, and ultimately does not know whether staff are investigating the candidates they know or have connections to. To address these risks, we offer 5 recommendations beginning on page 21 of the report. Recommendation 2.1 says the Civil Service Commission should develop and implement policies and procedures after conducting a review of the background investigation process. These policies should include uniform guidance for investigators. Recommendation 2.2 says the Commission should develop and document a security and privacy policy that includes uniform processes for using city devices to handle and store candidate documentation in a central secure repository. The Civil Service Commission agreed to both these recommendations and provided an implementation date of December 31st, 2025. Recommendation 2.3 says the Commission should issue city-approved devices to background investigators and ensure that all work is conducted on said devices. The Commission agreed with this recommendation and provided an implementation date of June 30th, 2025. Recommendation 2.4 says the Commission should develop a time and attendance policy and ensure it is included in the policies and procedures for background investigators. The policy should provide reasonable assurance that investigator time is accurate, reflects work performed, and is sufficiently detailed for review. The Commission agreed with this recommendation and provided an implementation date of May 28th, 2025. Recommendation 2.5 says the Commission should develop a conflict of interest and outside employment policy and ensure it is included in the policies and procedures for background investigators. The policy should include processes for identifying and documenting both conflicts of interest and outside employment. The Civil Service Commission agreed with this recommendation and provided an implementation date of May 14th, 2025. The implementation dates noted for recommendations 2.4 and 2.5 indicate Commission staff completed work on the recommendations before this audit report's publishing date. This information will be reviewed during the follow-up process, along with implementation status of all other recommendations. I'll now pause for any questions or comments before Danielle continues with some findings.
Questions from the committee?
Yes, sir. Does your staff complete the cybersecurity training that technology, and are they required to complete?
Yes.
Keep track?
That will be part of our ongoing monitoring, having the keeping track, but although Workday does provide you, the manager or myself, an opportunity to review who has and who hasn't taken.
Are there consequences if someone doesn't take it?
On the policies that are developed, consequences include disciplinary actions up to and including dismissal for non-compliance.
That includes the on-call employees?
Correct. All of our employees are expected to adhere to all city policies.
Okay. Well, your responses are all in agreement, and you've already dealt with some of these?
Correct, because I see the value and the merit of it. Having been in government services for a while, I really take true to my heart adhering to, you know, ethics policy and security and safety policies and time and attendance.
Terrific. Danielle.
Thank you. Good morning. Starting on page 24, as noted in finding one, Civil Service Commission staff manually process candidates in Workday without formalized expectations and processes in place. Our review of Workday and interviews with Commission staff highlighted that staff's work is not regularly reviewed for errors, and no documented process for regular reviews of staff's work exists. Errors like a candidate not being moved forward to the next step of the hiring process are typically identified by candidates or department staff who bring this to the Commission's attention. A lack of formalized review creates a heightened risk of candidates not being processed correctly or in a timely manner, which could lengthen the time a candidate spends in the hiring process. We have one recommendation for this sub-binding. Recommendation 2.6 states the Civil Service Commission should continue to develop guidance to ensure oversight and monitoring of work completed by Commission staff processing candidates in the hiring process. This guidance should include information about who should be conducting the review frequently. The Commission agreed with this recommendation with the planned implementation date of December 31st, 2025. I will pause for questions or comments from the Audit Committee or the Commission about this finding.
Laurie?
Just to clarify, I'm just a little confused about whether this word staff includes, I would think that word staff would not include the investigators, but in your findings, I think it was page 20, it talks about the accuracy and the quality assurance that the investigators are, or that the information is accurate. Would this recommendation also cover their quality, you know, their accuracy, as well as staff recording the findings?
So we have findings that focus on multiple areas. Jordan's findings that he just presented were really tailored to the background investigators.
That was only about their time and the accuracy of that, right? And the procedures, not the information that they gather and whether that's accurate.
Not just about the time, but we are recommending in this recommendation that the Civil Service Commission staff who process information within Workday mm-hmm. have a review process. So that is what this one is tailored to.
Right.
Of course, there is no limit on quality assurance. We always think that that would be a great thing as well.
Okay, but that's not specifically addressed. That's my question.
Recommendation 2.1 addressing policies and procedures for background investigations should also include those quality assurance procedures specific to those reports.
Okay.
And that would be built into how they're processing candidates in that step specifically.
And they're both staff too. It's kind of confusing, right? Because the on-call staff, they're still employees. They're just different buckets of employees in the Civil Service Commission.
All right, thank you.
All right. So, do we have any idea what the error factor is in your audit? Like how many of the Workday entries were incorrect in your audit?
I'll let Daniel handle that question.
Yeah.
So it was a little bit difficult to nail that number down just because when you're looking at it from a totality, not all candidates reach the end of the process. So it's difficult to kind of like understand where a person ended and what might be missing from that is just sort of that because they stopped or there was an error specifically. But when we're looking at candidates who completed the process entirely, for police candidates, in our scoping period, there was 230 of them in total. 209 of them were missing at least one important workday timestamp. And for fire department candidates, when 98 completed, 81 were missing a timestamp.
Okay, so this recommendation not just covers, you know, what I say like fat finger error, right? You hit the wrong keyboard button, but also would count missing data.
Yes, so I think the recommendations are kind of all working together. The finding one is really kind of nailing down the workday process for how I think that finger expression that you used is like actually clicking and making sure that we're all following the same process so that candidates are being processed similarly. And then I think finding two and the other findings are addressing sort of the other piece of that.
Okay. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. I think it's very important to note that in the absence of a robust procedures manual, it's really hard to track down and land on an error rate or a quality control or assurance process. So it makes sense to us because we have to really nail down all of our procedures first, and then from that built in a review procedure, so then we can reasonably say what the error rates are. Because as the audit team has sort of referred, some of those that may be missing timestamps may not necessarily be errors, but it's just a byproduct of us using or working outside of workday. And because we transfer information in and out of several external spreadsheets, tracking the lifespan of any particular candidate is really difficult. So then you can't really attribute it to error at this point because that wouldn't be fair. You know, so we have to really work within Workday and then determine how that review process looks like.
Okay, great.
Thank you. I will now continue with our next subfinding, beginning on page 25, which is agreements with third-party vendors are not sufficiently monitored. Continuing on page 25, to better understand how the Civil Service Commission monitors work done by vendors, we reviewed four contracts related to the entry-level hiring process. The Civil Service Commission contracts with these vendors to conduct work that requires specialized skills like administering a polygraph examination or conducting a psychological assessment. These vendors then provide a report to the Commission, which can help determine whether a candidate is suitable for the job they have applied for. We found the contracts contained minimal, vague requirements for vendor reporting. We found that none of the contracts we reviewed had documented deadlines or timelines for report submission, which would help ensure vendors, like polygraphers and psychologists, submit information to the Commission promptly so candidates can move forward in the hiring process. Without adequate guidance outlining expectations, contractors may be completing work slower and at a lower quality than expected. Starting on page 27, we also identified several instances of overspending on contracts and purchase orders. A contract with Psychological Dimensions, a vendor that provides psychologists, was overspent by approximately $129,000. A purchase order with the Psychometrics Corporation, which provides drug testing services, was overspent by approximately $3,800, and a purchase order with the National Testing Network was overspent by approximately $78,000. These instances of overspending were attributed to a lack of amending or creating a new contract or purchase order when limits were reached, no one monitoring contracts between November 2023 and February 2024 because the contract administrator role was vacant, and additional unexpected costs such as the Commission paying for applicants' National Testing Network test without reimbursement from the Department of Public Safety in 2024 when reimbursement previously happened in 2023. Continuing on page 28, invoices for the Psychological Dimensions contract were not paid beginning around March 2023 and totaled 11 months of non-payment because there was no one consistently in the contract administrator role. Since finding these issues, Commission staff have taken appropriate action to document overpayment according to city requirements. However, no formalized documented policies or procedures exist to help ensure these issues do not happen again. We have one recommendation related to this subfinding. Recommendation 2.7 says the Civil Service Commission should develop and implement policies and procedures to ensure third-party agreements are appropriately established to monitored for compliance. These policies and procedures should include identifying and outlining responsibilities related to contract management. The Commission agreed with this recommendation with a planned implementation date of December 31st, 2025. I will now open the floor for any questions or comments from the Audit Committee members or the Commission.
Questions from the floor? Any additional comments? Lisa?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Starting on page 29 of the report, subfinding 4 states communication processes are inadequate. Our review found several areas with communication issues, such as a lack of regular communication with other departments, inconsistent communication with applicants, automated communication issues, and feedback from candidates is not being used to improve the process. As noted on page 29 of the report, other departments are involved in several areas of the hiring process. To determine how the Commission communicates with other departments, we interviewed staff and management and found that departments rely on the information provided by the Commission to reach out to applicants and offer assistance throughout the process. However, interviews with department staff highlighted concerns about the usefulness of information shared and how often it was shared. Commission staff stated that some of the information provided may be out of date by the time the departments review. As candidates move through the process, this information would not be reflected as changes are constantly made to the information shared. The second issue we noted, starting on page 30, found that the Commission's communication with applicants is inconsistent. Although Commission staff communicate regularly with candidates, the information provided is not always sent timely, with accurate information or with clear direction on what the expectations are for next steps in the process. Communication is emailed through staff-created templates with information each candidate needs for any next steps. On page 31 of the report, we selected a sample of 40 candidates to determine if communication was sent, when communication was sent, and whether the disqualification notification matched disposition reason noted in work. Our review found that communication was vague, incorrect, and untimely. We found emails sent out 5 to 6 months after the applicant had completed a task, emails missing key information the applicant would need to continue in the process, and some instances where no communication was sent at all. To better understand communication issues from a candidate's perspective, we sent a survey to candidates asking about their experience with the Commission's communication throughout the hiring process. For example, figure 6 on page 31, we had asked disqualified candidates how clear they felt the communication was from the Commission. 59% of those that responded said that communication was unclear or very unclear. Another example is seen on figure 7, page 32. We also asked the same candidates how timely the communication was provided, notifying them when they were disqualified. 24% never received any communication, and 20% said the communication was untimely or very untimely. As noted on page 33, while most communication with applicants is completed manually, some communication goes back to candidates automatically. Our review of the 40 candidates found instances of communication where disqualification notifications were not sent out, along with other communication that was vague and unclear. Candidates that were disqualified were notified of this. However, there were no details describing the reason why, which would help candidates understand if and when they could apply again. Commission staff informed us the system pulled a generic template and sent all candidates without additional details that would pertain to the specific applicant. Other applicants received emails about their test scores, but the score was listed as not available, even after they had completed the exam. When asked why this error occurred, we were informed it was likely caused by Workday's inability to process a large number of candidate scores at once. Lastly, as seen on page 34, we found feedback received from candidates is not used to improve the hiring process. Commission staff requests and receives non-feedback from candidates about their experience during the hiring process through a multiple choice survey. The survey was only intended to be sent to individuals to remove themselves from the hiring process. However, our review found that some candidates who received the survey had not actually dropped out, disqualified, or not selected for hire. Interviews with commission staff highlighted that survey responses received were not being reviewed to determine if trends exist. Commission staff cited the reliability of the responses received and a very low response rate as the reasons the information provided was never further analyzed. Given these risks, we have developed the following four recommendations beginning on page 35. Recommendation 2.8 states, develop and implement formal procedures for communication with other departments. The Civil Service Commission should work with the Police Department, Fire Department, and the Department of Public Safety to develop, document, and implement policies and procedures outlining a plan for regular quality communication and data sharing. Recommendation 2.9 on page 42 states, review communication processes. The Commission should review its communication processes, which should include the following. Collaborating with Workday analysts from the Office of Human Resources to identify whether and where automation is appropriate. Formalize deadlines for completion. Determine whether other methods of communication could be effective. And examine the templates used to determine if the information provided when an applicant is disqualified is sufficient. Once this review is complete, the Commission should document and implement a formal policy outlining applicant communication. Recommendation 2.10 states, develop policies and procedures to obtain applicant feedback. The Commission should develop and implement policies and procedures related to obtaining, reviewing, and using applicant feedback to improve the hiring process. Lastly, Recommendation 2.11 states, review and update communication processes. In conjunction with Recommendation 2.8 and 2.9, the Commission should develop and implement policies and procedures to establish how often it should evaluate and update all communication processes. The Commission agreed to all four of these recommendations with a planned implementation date of October 31st, 2025. This concludes our presentation. We thank you for your time and would like to open the floor to questions or comments from the Commission or Audit Committee members. Thank you.
Ed?
I have two. Regarding the reason, I think I picked up, Lisa, that you looked at examples of what was sent out, and does it say something like, I can see in my head this, you're not moving on because you didn't meet minimum qualifications, and that doesn't tell you why or what you didn't meet. Is it something like that?
Right, it lists all the potential reasons, but not specific.
Doesn't say what yours was, right.
Sure.
Seems like an easy fix. Put in the system, like you choose which one. I would want to know which one.
Right.
But then on the didn't get anything at all, I imagine there's a little bit of anger in survey responses from the people who were kicked out, and they're like, I never heard from them. Meanwhile, they got whatever, they never read it. But are there true confirmed cases where people were not communicated to?
In our testing, we did find where there was missing communication.
Which I know you're going to fix, but bad. Right.
Jack?
Yeah, I'd like, Ed just talked about the rejections, and I'd like to kind of focus on people who are active and you'd like to hire, so to speak. Do you have any idea what percentage of people have dropped out of the application process who otherwise might continue on? Especially given the hiring difficulties, particularly for police officers? And do you have any goals in terms of improvement in that post October 31st, 2025?
Thank you for that question. So we did not really do an analysis of everyone who had, or even sampled disqualified candidates to see if they would have been successful otherwise. However, it is to be noted that within the candidate pipeline, we do see several folks repeating the process. So if they might have been rejected the previous job posting, they would re-enroll in the process or reapply. And so as of now, actually, we did we recently did a cursory review of our data, and I will be happy to share that one of the things, the top two reasons that people or that candidates were dropping off of the process was not because we were disqualifying them, but because they did not continue to complete the process that was required. For example, the number one reason that people have dropped out and they've cited is that candidates did not complete the entry-level written test. The entry-level written test is, to me, had several difficulties into that prevented people from being encouraged to complete. So what we did is we actually worked with our vendor. They developed a Denver-specific written test. And as of this year, we've actually seen, I believe, an increase. Well, we're only for the total amount of test completions compared to 2024 and compared to year-to-date of 2025, we're only 6% shy of exceeding the total number of folks completing the test. So if you can imagine, our process is very lengthy. That is just the very first step. So we hope to really increase, that's the goal, increase the pipeline so we have better choices, right? Because when you don't have better choices because your pipeline is small, then it will kind of like make people feel like we're scraping the bottom of the barrel, and that's not what we want to do. We want the best for Denver Police. The second thing that I just want to say too is one of the goals that we have set in our strategic plan for 2025 is to decrease the amount or the volume of non-completions of these NTN tests by 20%. So we had a total of 1,031 non-complete tests for 2024, and as of year to date, we're 27% under that, and we've already processed two academies. So I know we might not reach the 20% goal, but that's the nature of goals. You do it as a stretch goal, but I'm confident that we will still sort of end the year with a lower number of non-test takers. So that's an example of the improvements and the goals that we're doing.
Right.
All the way back to the front end, when a candidate is looking to join the police force and the fire department, who do they start with? Is it the Office of Human Resources? And then how does that come to you? Because some of that communication is, as an applicant, I might say, okay, this is the first person that responded to me. I'm gonna count on them, and then I'm handed off. How does that all work?
You know, that's a very interesting question when I first came in, because in all honesty, our applicants can have different points of entries. Their point of entry might be through our partners in DPD or DFD, because they have their recruiting teams. And in the past, they have, I'll focus on police just for the sake of, you know, time. For police, they used to have a candidate, if they reach out to police, they will fill out an interest form that mimics our application form, because we were not collaborating on those essential applicant data. So I'm happy to report they're no longer requiring the interest form, because we found a way to work with Workday to give the recruiters an appropriate security role that does not compromise the integrity of the data that Civil Service Commission works with. So now they can go to a recruiter, they can go to another recruiting team within Department of Public Safety, or come through us, and they will all be directed to the same application form that is available in the job portal. So that is the first. But you know, many of us, that's why I think collaboration amongst the areas are important, and it doesn't really, you know, to a level that we maintain confidentiality and ethical practices, it's really important to share that information, because at the end of the day, I like to always say, we're inviting people to come work and be a cop in Denver. It does not matter whether they're talking to Civil Service Commission, they're talking to the departments or Department of Public Safety. How we present ourselves represents the city of Denver.
Thank you. Yeah?
Yeah, the other question I have to follow up on what you're saying is something that was not in the audit scope was, well, how often do you meet with the police recruiters, and what do they say about the process?
You know, I will say, when we first started, feedbacks are not, you know, because one of the things that I did at first when I joined in August, I think the first 30, 60 days, I met with the department chiefs, and then I also met with the recruiters, and then we sort of started a more collaborative sort of get together with the recruiting teams for the departments. And now we've gotten to a place where regular meetings are not necessarily needed, like official meetings, but my team sees the recruiting team from the police department twice a month, because we're all in there together administering the physical agility test, for example. So there's always room for that communication. And I just also want to highlight, like, it has always been that the Civil Service Commission staff, predating me, have always been in close communication with the departments. Where we are and the challenge is that, how do we formalize and what kind of guidance do we have for these types of communication so that there are after action, you know, reports, right? Because sometimes those ad hoc conversations may just remain ad hoc and to not, you know, does not translate to what they said was process improvement. So we're in that process of putting together a formal communication guide. But we visited them, you know, for fire department. We've gone and visited, we've tried out the exams, you know, that type of thing, because we want to get to know what they think of us and then how the process is on their end, because it's sort of like the departments are the bookends of the civil service hiring process.
Thank you.
I hope I answered your question.
You did very well. Thank you.
Other questions? Any closing comments at this point?
Commissioners?
No, we appreciate all the time and attention. Hi, I'm Amber Miller. I'm the sitting president right now for the commission. We really do appreciate you all. Gracie had said this at the beginning with her remarks. You all really engaging with us, as we also, it helped us to bring in your perspectives, because we were also undertaking such a large process improvement effort. And so this has been very helpful for us to formalize processes, procedures, and identify opportunities for improvement. On top of it, you know, we have a number of additional improvements that we're making and a lot of work to go. So we're excited to dig into this more and to really, you know, sharpen this agency so we can feel really confident and proud of our hiring processes.
I would just add my compliments to your staff for the effort and the professionalism. That's all I heard about during the process of this audit. We understand that that's part of accountability. We accept that. We welcome it. And as the auditor was saying, we were talking before the official start of the meeting, this is just good operational hygiene. So we appreciate the interest and the recommendations, and we're committed to moving forward.
I just wanted to say, you know, Rome wasn't built in one day. So certainly, you know, I want to say that the inefficiencies is not for my staff's lack of trying or best effort. I think everybody in this agency has put their best effort with all the best of intentions. So my charge is just to kind of put all of those best intentions into best practices that aligns with government practice and accountability, right? So give us time, give us grace, but we have certainly every intention to be compliant and to be a very sound public agency.
Well, thank you. And I appreciate your cooperation, your responsiveness, and most of all, what you do to help Denver become, you know, be a safe place for all of us to live and work in. Thank you very much. We are concluded with this briefing. We've got a little more work here. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, so our next item is general business. The only general business is to announce that we have another meeting on July 17th here in the Parr Widener Room. With that, I'd like to adjourn into executive session to meet with our independent auditors on the progress of our annual comprehensive financial report audit. Is there a motion to go into executive session?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? We're in executive session.